Brian Lehrer on WNYC. With the cardinals gathered in Rome to choose a new leader for the Roman Catholic Church, we're going to talk about a different conclave of religious leaders and academics who gathered in New Orleans last year to add to the books included in the New Testament Christian Bible, incorporating some recently discovered texts. I doubt the cardinals will be adopting the new version, but I'm joined now by the editor of what's called a New Testament, a Bible for the 21st century, combining traditional and newly discovered texts. He is Hal Taussig, a visiting professor at the Union Theological Seminary here in New York. Reverend Taussig, welcome to WNYC.
It's great to be here, Brian.
And you are calling your book a new New Testament, not the new Testament. Mm-hmm. Your aim is not to replace that book?
That's exactly right. We really wanted to make clear that this is an exciting venture in which we've added some new books to the traditional New Testament, but this is not the final version. We're not claiming that it would be good for all time.
And so I want to get with you to why you thought this was needed. But first, tell us a little bit about the books you added. Are they the so-called Gnostic Gospels found in the Middle East in the 1940s?
Well, they include some of those, but to tell you the truth, there have been over 75 new discoveries of early Christian documents within the last century. And so there are many more than the ones that were found in the 1940s in Egypt. So these include those, but they're not the only ones.
And from what I gather, these new selections include books with names like Thunder, Perfect Mind, and the Acts of Paul and Thecla that alter what might be called the sexism in the established New Testament. Was that an important consideration?
Well, the council that chose these, they all used their own criteria. They were all experienced leaders in spiritual matters around the country. So I didn't tell them what their criteria should be. But it is true that in certain sections of the existing New Testament, it feels as if the cards are stacked against women. And I think that the council really was excited about the fact there are new discoveries of ancient Christian documents which really lean into the leadership and the power and the spirit of women in those early communities.
So give me an example. What's new along those lines in the New mm-hmm. Testament?
Well, so at the top of the list of the council was the Gospel of Mary. The Gospel of Mary is the only gospel we know which has a protagonist, a main character who is a woman. It's called she's called Mary. We think it's Mary of Magdala, but we're not sure. But she's the main character. And in the Gospel of Mary, Jesus finally departs from the disciples, and the disciples cry. But Mary steps forward, and she comforts the disciples and says, "Listen, he told me things he didn't tell you, and this will help you live through your loss of him." And so she steps forward and gives additional teachings that only Jesus in this story had told her.
And how about those two books that we mentioned? Tell us a little bit about these. Thunder, Perfect Mind. Sounds like it could be the title of a Hollywood movie.
Yes, the Thunder, Perfect Mind is an amazing document in which a God figure presents herself as the divine speaker, and she proclaims who she is. This is a kind of document that's common in the ancient world, but this is one that was found with a whole slew of other early Christian documents, and she proclaims herself as the first and the last. She says she's the Holy One and the harlot. She is the virgin and the wife, and so she proclaims both her power as a woman figure, and she sounds, frankly, a lot like Jesus does in the Gospel of John, in which Jesus, in the Gospel of John, proclaims how glorious he is, but he also is someone who is humiliated. She has a very similar character, so we can see why the early communities packaged the Gospel of John with the Thunder, Perfect Mind. Then there's the Acts of Paul and Thecla, which is an amazing document. Thecla is a young woman, probably in her teens, who hears the Apostle Paul talking, and she says, "This is fantastic teaching." And so she decides that she also wants to be a teacher like Paul. Paul pays a little bit of attention to her, but not a lot. But then her main problem is that she's so beautiful that there are all these men who want to marry her and make her stay at home as wife. She refuses all of her quarters, and she says, no, I want to teach like Paul. Paul doesn't get around to baptizing her, and so she finally baptizes herself and goes out and teaches in the tradition of Paul.
Can you do that? Can you baptize yourself?
I haven't. This is a bold picture of a woman who, facing the discrimination of men, basically says, no, I'm in control enough, and I'm dedicated to this new message about the Christ, and I will do what I need to do to go out and present it.
My guest is Reverend Hal Taussig, visiting professor at the Union Theological Seminary and the editor of A New Testament, a Bible for the 21st Century, combining traditional and newly discovered texts. And listeners, are you open to a new Testament, especially Christians listening right now? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Call us up and tell us if you think these newly discovered, relatively recently discovered texts should be added to the New Testament. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Do these recently discovered texts change your fundamental understanding of the Christian Bible?
I think they expand it. I don't think they change it. The New Testament in its traditional form has a great variety of points of view. So Paul doesn't really agree with the Gospel of Matthew in all points. So there is a diversity in the traditional New Testament, but this expands it even more. And it also makes us aware of new kinds of images. You heard them as I was talking about these books that just refresh the message of the early Christ communities. It makes it feel as if it's newer and more accessible and something that you don't hear every day.
How established, by the way, is the New Testament as we usually think of it? Are there different versions among different Christian groupings, Catholic, Eastern Orthodox, various Protestant?
Yes, this is really surprising to people, and the book details this. First of all, it's really important to know that the traditional New Testament didn't really come into being for the first 300 to 500 years. So the idea that somehow the New Testament dropped from heaven complete is not the correct historical picture. It took centuries of the early Christians fighting with one another, thinking about what they needed, till finally around the year 500, you began to have one book with these 27 documents in it. It turns out that the Syriac and the Ethiopian churches don't have the same 27 books in the New Testament. So it is not unanimous, but in the so-called Western world, it has been 27 books for about 1,500 years. So in some ways, this is the first time in the Western version of Christianity that someone has said, let's revise this. We didn't take anything away. We added 10 that this group of spiritual leaders thought would be the powerful things for today's people.
Let's take a phone call. And our lines are just jammed with people who want to talk about the New Testament. Paul in Red Bank, you're on WNYC. Hi, Paul.
Hi. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to say I own a copy of the Gnostic Gospels. The Gospel of Thomas is probably my favorite gospel, even more so than John. And I think putting this book together is just a very wonderful idea, considering a lot of turmoil that Christianity is having right now throughout the Western world. And I think expanding on people's ideas can only do good instead of confining them to a narrow view. I'm a very devout Catholic, but I think we need to open our minds in order to understand the divine a lot more. So thank you very much for making this book.
Paul, can I ask you what it is about the Gnostic Gospel that you like so much?
I enjoy, even though I'm a Catholic, I enjoy Gnosticism a lot because a lot of it is more self-reflective and meditative. And as a Catholic, Catholics are taught to seek the divine through the clergy instead of through oneself. And while mm-hmm. have sometimes enjoyed confession, maybe a couple of times, a handful of times. The idea of finding God or divinity in yourself or through yourself is just a very attractive mm-hmm. idea, all ideas, instead of just a few ideas. You know, right. Everyone has a good point, not just one point.
And the Gnostics are along those lines.
And Paul, may I add a couple of things just to say that I think you're among many people that have this experience. As I've traveled around the country speaking to thousands of people about these books, my sense is that people have two strong responses. One is as if they've found their long-lost sister or brother when they hear these documents. And then secondly, they say, why isn't this in our Holy Writ now? So I want to just say, Paul, you're in a big crowd of people that are ready for this. The second thing I would dare to say is, I would encourage us to be careful about the term Gnosticism. It looks like that term has been overplayed. I'm tending to want to say Gnosticism says there's something really different about the new discoveries. I think there's so many things that are the same. Gnosticism sometimes is a code word for heresy, and these new books really aren't in that category.
Tanya in Westchester, you're on WNYC. Hi, Tanya.
Hi, thank you. This is so exciting. I think it's absolutely fantastic. I'm an Episcopal, but recently as an adult, and I go to Bible study every week, and we read and discuss. And what is so clear to me is that these the New Testament is a wonderful collection of writings that were written after the death of Jesus by different people, and someone chose what to put in. So it makes absolute sense that there would be other documents and that each of those perspectives would just add richness and a multiplicity of views that as we really study and explore these teachings with an open mind, that it can only deepen our faith and give us greater perspective on the teachings of Jesus.
Thank you very much. And to that point, Reverend Taussig, you know, we've interviewed Elaine Pagels on the show, who's written extensively on mm-hmm. some of the newer texts, newly discovered texts. And the early Christian church, if I follow her analysis, settled on texts that told a coherent story, so that they could decide what was orthodoxy and what was heresy. So there was a political element to those choices. And I think Tanya was suggesting that. Does your New Testament tell a coherent story in a similar way?
I don't think that there is even a coherent story, frankly, in the traditional New Testament. There's a lot of diversity, but this just makes the diversity more eye-popping and gives us more resources. When I, as a clergy person, start reading the traditional New Testament, which I love very much, some people start falling asleep because they think they've heard it all. This is a way to wake folks up to some of the same messages and some additional messages that are now in different forms, different stories, and different images.
I think on a similar note, Gloria in Westchester, you're on WNYC. Hi, Gloria.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I think these new discoveries must be incorporated in the New Testament, because the selected Gospels that are in the New Testament were selected in the Council of Nicaea under Emperor Constantine, who wanted to unify the Roman Empire. That was a political decision, and I think this new text now are closer to the reality that Jesus, the historical reality of Jesus.
Gloria, thank you.
Gloria, and thank you so much for noticing that difference in the criteria by which the traditional New Testament was formed. I want to say that I think there are two problems here as we try to put these worlds together. One is we tend to say all of the traditional things are right and all the new things are wrong. In response to that, however, some of us have decided all of the new things are right and all the old things are wrong. I'm wanting to recommend that actually it's more of a mature approach if we can really claim the way these mix together and just expand our spiritual possibilities.
Are you getting any pushback? We have another caller who we're not going to have time to take, who says they're evangelical Christian and the book of Revelation said adding to the Bible should be condemned.
Yes, that's the last verse of the traditional New Testament. Actually, not only condemned, but you should be put to death if you do this. This is
watch your back.
Well, I just want to say that in my life and in the life of the people I pastor and teach as seminarians, it's really the case that we need some more resources. And so we need to reach out and find some more of the knowledge from the early Christ group.
Since you're a biblical scholar, this is a little off the point of these new texts that you're weaving into the New Testament. But Maribel in Manhattan has a question that I know so many of our listeners wonder about. Maribel, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'm an African American, and I have a question about the New Testament. There seems to be a fundamental acceptance of slavery, you know, if you're in it, just accept it and be a good slave. Mm-hmm. And I'm just trying to understand who compiled the New Testament, the original one. Why would the ones that were left out? And do these new findings of yours say anything with regard to slavery?
Maribel, thank you so much. I feel so saddened about that content in the traditional New Testament myself. And I must say that it's interesting. There are many places in the existing New Testament that say, yes, slaves obey their masters, but we seem to have forgotten that in the traditional New Testament there are also places where people say that, no, we are all in Christ one, both slave and free. I cannot say that these new documents have any breakthroughs on the issues of slavery. That tie between Christianity and slavery for such a long time remains a sad legacy for us all.
And there we have to leave it with Hal Tausig. He is a visiting professor currently at the Union Theological Seminary here in New York, and now he's the editor of a New Testament, a Bible for the 21st century, combining traditional and newly discovered texts. It's been fascinating. Thank you very much.
Oh, it's great to be here.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, we'll talk about the plan from the former president of Trader Joe's, who wants to sell expired food cheap to low-income Bostonians. Is it a bargain, an insult, a public health threat? We'll explore it in a minute.